Hello, gang, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today, it's just going to be you and me. I don't have a guest today. What I want to talk about today is what is behind this push for war with Russia. There's a fair amount of discussion about this push for war with Russia. I'm glad that a lot of people are seeing it. I'm glad that this is becoming an issue, at least amongst us. Obviously, the Jewish press isn't talking about it. But Hillary's push for war with Russia, and it's not just Hillary. I mean, Hillary is the front man for it. What's behind it? And I'm not sure if people really understand what's behind it. Now, I'm going to go professor on you today. I've been studying Russia academically for decades. I've also been studying Jewish power for decades. And what I want to say is this is a Jewish thing. Now, for those of you who are interested, I did publish much of what I'm going to say. I published on davidduke.com, and I expect it to be published on the Daily Stormer, maybe in other places as well. So if you want to find it, look for What is Behind the Push for War with Russia. That's the title. And on davidduke.com, it was published on October 13th, 2016. Now, here's an aside. In this article, I used the echo, the three parentheses. I used this echo to denote Jewish names or Jewish institutions. Now, I've been listening lately to some other podcasts from rather like-minded people, although rather humorous, and a couple of people, I think the fascist Lemming, and someone on Fash the Nation or the Daily Shoah. Some of these people, I believe, are using a weird, whiny, nasally voice when they're speaking in place of these echo marks. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to try. So here we go. This is a Jewish thing. But it's not just that the Jews want to destroy things for no reason. But there is, especially among the American Jewish elite, a vendetta against Vladimir Putin. This vendetta was described by American Academia's preeminent Russian scholar, Professor Stephen F. Cohen. To be sure, Cohen did not say in so many words that this was a Jewish vendetta, but he also did not call it a globalist or a corporate or a reptilian Nazi vendetta, which are just ways of distracting attention away from the Jewish role. He blamed a war party, which he described as being led by the New York Times and the Washington Post and officials in the defense and state departments like Victoria Nuland. Connect the dots for yourselves, guys. He did not say why this war party, I would call it a war party, but the war party, as he calls it, he did not say why this war party wants to regime change Putin. But a look at recent Russian history, a history that he has written so much about, makes it clear. After the Soviet Union was dismantled in what was basically an unconstitutional coup carried out by the Russian President Boris Yeltsin at a time when Russia was just one of 15 Soviet republics, albeit the largest by far of these 15 republics that made up the Soviet Union, he proceeded to privatize state assets as part of a shock therapy program pushed by Harvard professor Jeffrey Sachs, who was brought in as an advisor by privatization minister Anatoly Chubais. President Clinton sent over more Jews to advise Yeltsin on how to reform the economy, including Treasury Department officials Lawrence Summers, later the Treasury Secretary, and Peter Orszag, who later became Budget Director under President Obama. Under the Sachs plan, the Russian government issued vouchers to the population, which would be exchanged for shares in privatized companies. With the economy in free fall, people were willing to sell those vouchers on the cheap to anyone who would pay cash. And who had cash? Chubais, Summers, Orzog. They matched international Jewish financiers like George Soros to young Jews with political connections. These young Jews with access to international financial capital were then able to buy up massive amounts of vouchers and take control of the privatized state assets. The international financiers could not do it themselves because they were not Russian citizens. They needed fellow tribalists in Russia. Later, in the mid-1990s, a rigged loans for shares program, an auction really, further solidified Jewish control over the Russian economy. Meanwhile, living standards for Russians plummeted. Life expectancy for men fell by about 8 years. Death rates skyrocketed, mostly due to alcoholism, but starvation and freezing were not uncommon, and suicide as well. Jews who did not benefit from this Jewish takeover of the country emigrated to Israel, the United States, or Europe. Their presence was not necessary in Russia. Naturally, the Russians came to hate Yeltsin and his Jewish cronies. He was impeached by the parliament in 1993, only to send tanks to fire on the Russian parliament. He imprisoned the Speaker of the Parliament, Ruslan Hasbulatov, along with Vice President Alexander Rutskoy, who was actually the rightful president, seeing as Yeltsin had been impeached and his impeachment was upheld by the Constitutional Court. Yeltsin then rewrote the Constitution, and President Clinton called him a great Democrat. In the presidential elections of 1996, the communist candidate, Gennady Zyuganov, surely defeated Yeltsin, only to have the election stolen from him. Now, here is a quote. This is a quote from Zyuganov's Wikipedia page. It says, "Hungarian-American billionaire George Soros, along with Russian oligarchs such as Boris Berezovsky, Vladimir Gusinsky, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, Anatoly Chubais, and others, feared a communist resurgence." Now, what's interesting is every single man mentioned in that preceding sentence are Jews. This Wikipedia article concludes that Yeltsin, quote, "relentlessly exploited the advantages of incumbency, patronage, and financial backing," unquote, to defeat Zyuganov. The Jews at HBO even made a movie about how Americans helped Yeltsin steal the election. You can check it out. It's called Spinning Boris, and it stars Jeff Goldblum. With the 2000 presidential elections approaching, and Yeltsin hopelessly drunk, the Jewish oligarchs were looking for a new puppet. Yeltsin had already been through a string of prime ministers, including at least two Jews, Sergei Kiryenko and Yevgeny Primakov. Now, Yevgeny Primakov I always kind of liked. He was the person that Mikhail Gorbachev had sent on this shuttle diplomacy to Iraq in order to try to prevent the first Gulf War, George Bush the First's war against Saddam Hussein. And Primakov, who speaks fluent Arabic, was able to come up with an agreement whereby Saddam Hussein would withdraw from Kuwait and there'd be some nonviolent process for addressing grievances. Of course, Bush wanted none of this. No doubt his Jewish backers wanted none of it. But anyway, that's another story. So Yeltsin had at least those two prime ministers. There was also Yegor Gaidar earlier in his presidency, who many people thought were Jewish. I don't think he was Jewish. I thought at the time he was, but I've later come to believe that he probably wasn't. But there's no doubt about Kiryenko and Yevgeny Primakov. At any rate, the communist Gennady Zyuganov was still a sure bet to win the 2000 presidential elections. Now, who was this Gennady Zyuganov? Well, here is a 1998 article written by David Hoffman of the Washington Post. I'm going to quote the first couple of sentences from Hoffman's article. This is Moscow, December 24th, 1998. That's the dateline. Communist Party leader Gennady Zyuganov has declared in an open letter his belief in a Zionist conspiracy to seize power in Russia and asserted that Zionist capital had wrecked Russia's economy. The letter appeared to be aimed at the Russian business tycoons, known here as the oligarchs, who were instrumental in re-electing President Boris Yeltsin over Zyuganov in 1996. Most of the small circle of tycoons in this country are Jewish. Okay, so that here's Hoffman, and he's admitting that these oligarchs are mostly Jewish, and of course reporting that Zyuganov is blaming them for wrecking the Russian economy and for stealing the election from him and giving it to Yeltsin. Zyuganov actually went on to say that if Jews aren't going to be loyal Russians, they could get out of the country. And back to my article. So the Jewish oligarchs needed a savior. Putin was supposed to be that man. With the help of alleged Chechen terroristic bombings in Moscow that rallied the public behind Putin and his hardline response, Putin won the 2000 election. But the problem for the Jews was that he used his popular support to take on the oligarchs. He put some in prison, others fled the country, and the rest reached an uneasy truce with him so that they could retain their fiefdoms in exchange for staying out of politics. That brings us back to the war party that Professor Cohen describes. They think that they can topple Putin and restore the Jewish oligarchy. Victoria Nuland, the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, already did a dry run of this scenario in Ukraine. It's not as if they really want a nuclear world war, but they think they can pull off a Russian regime change and are willing to risk nuclear war to do it. It may be delusional, but the payoff would be enormous. The Jews are currently in control of most of the white world, with the one big exception of Russia. Massive non-white immigration is on the verge of forever excluding the possibility that ethnic nationalists in these white countries could ever pose a threat to Jewish rule. Although movements in many of these countries, including the alt-right and Trumpism in America, show that the game is not yet over. Now, via American hegemony, Jews indirectly dominate countries from Japan to Saudi Arabia. Now, countries like China and Iran may be independent, but only Russia has the military means to stand up to Zio-America. So this is why we are on the brink of war with Russia. It's not because Putin is anti-gay. It's certainly not because of humanitarian concerns for the people of Aleppo. It's not even because the Israelis are pushing it. They're doing pretty well with the status quo and already have gotten what they want from Russia in terms of having these Russian Jews, including some of the oligarchs, come and bring their massive ill-gotten fortunes with them. No, it's the Jewish elite, primarily in America, that sees Putin as a threat to Jewish power, just as Trump potentially is. So it should be no surprise that they are willing to do whatever it takes to remove Putin, even if it means war. And of course, they're doing whatever they can to prevent Trump from being elected. You can see that. So that's my article. I think it's important to understand why there is this push for war with Russia. A lot of the time, we see what's happening. A lot of people will see what's happening, but they're not able to understand why it's happening. Now, to see what's happening, that's good, but we really want to understand why it's happening. And a lot of people see what's happening. There's a push for war with Russia and understand the Jews are behind it, but still don't know what the Jewish objectives are. I hope this clarifies things. I think it's important to understand it, just as it's important to understand so many things, like the immigration issue. It's the Jews that are behind it. It's not liberals or Democrats wanting permanent Democratic Party elections. No, it's Jews wanting permanent Jewish control. The Mexicans could flood over the border, and the Paul Ryans of the world could get in a bidding war for goodies, for stuff. There's no guarantee that it's going to be, they're forever going to be Democratic voters. And if you look at the history of the United States, you'll see various groups of people shifting from Democratic voters to being Republican voters. I mean, even the Jews are starting to shift to the Republican Party after having been thoroughly Democrat. That's not what's at stake. What's at stake is Jewish rule. So it's not to have a permanent Democratic Party, it's to have permanent Jewish power. It's important to understand these things. Otherwise, you get back to some sort of Alex Jones type of shadowy elite, never talking about Jews. It's just some secret plot. Things don't make sense. It doesn't make sense that liberals just want to commit suicide, that liberals are against the whites just because they're stupid. That doesn't make sense. But it does make sense for a Jewish elite to try to keep down the white birth rate, to try to import maximum number of non-whites, to try to incite black violence against whites. This makes sense if you understand you have a Jewish elite that's hostile to Goyim in general, but to whites in particular, because what they fear as their main obstacle to domination is a unified nationalism, a unified ethnic nationalism. And that's what's behind this push for war with Russia. Okay, well, I hope you will join me next time on National Bugle Radio. I'm sure we're going to have more fun guests. Today it was just you and me. So until next time, keep thinking free.